welcome to this session of Spirit Life Training. I'm glad to be with you in this session. Today, we're going to, we're not headed to the book yet, but we're headed to the first chapter, but I had to get some things lined up apostolically so you can understand how important your soul, your mind, how important that is to you operating in the supernatural and getting what God wants done in the natural. Your soul plays an integral part. And so today we're going to discover what Jesus did on the cross concerning our soul. All right, it's very important. Now, in order for us to see what Jesus did on the cross for our soul, we must see the original way God designed us to operate. If you would turn to Genesis, the second chapter, and we're going to use an example of Adam and what Adam did to exemplify the way God designed us. In Genesis, the second chapter, and the, let's start at the 18th verse. And the Lord God said, Genesis, the second chapter, 18th verse. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. And this is the part I want you to get to, because we see something here significant that happened. And we're going to use scriptural reference to back this up of why this is supposed to happen, how we lost it, and how we got it back, and how we can utilize it more effectively. Here's what happened. Verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam, watch this, to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So here it is. God formed the animals, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Now, what's so significant about that? Well, let's go back to Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter, and look at the 26th verse. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. So we see God created us in his image. We know this already. So if God created us in his image, and in this second chapter, in the 19th verse, God brought the animals to see what Adam would call them, that means that God trusted Adam's thought process. Why did he trust Adam's thought process? Because Adam was on the same thought process that God was on. Because you got to remember, Adam was made in the image of God. Adam had been made in the image of God, been spending time with God. So God and Adam thought alike. So God trusted him so much to where he would brought Adam the animals to see what Adam would call them. And whatever Adam called them, that's what they were. Why? Because God trusted Adam's thought process. I want you to catch this. So that's how we were designed. We were designed to be on the same mental wavelength, same mental pattern as God, our creator. Hope you're seeing this. Because he brought Adam the animals to see what he would call them. God trusted him, because he knew Adam thought like he thinks. That's how we were designed. That's how we were created. Let's go to verse 3. Let's go to chapter 3. Verse 1. Watch what it says. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, But of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, something significant happened in the third chapter. Something that it was, we've said it before in this class, but this time we're going to bring it, and you're going to understand exactly how your mind works, because that's how God designed it. Now, what's the difference between Adam in the second chapter and Adam in this third chapter? And it's not the woman. That's not the difference, because in the 18th verse, 17th verse, God said, it's not good for you to be alone. So I'm going to make somebody for you. So no, so woman is God given. So she's not the problem. Oh, glory to God. So what is the problem? What's the difference between the second chapter when God brought Adam, the animals, and this third chapter? Let's start off by saying, you heard this statement before. Your environment creates your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings causes you to act, and your actions bring certain results. I'm going to say that again. We've heard this before, but I'm going to say it over and over again, because you got to understand how your mind works. Your environment creates your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings are nothing more than fuel for you to act. That's why it says your feelings cause you to act, and your actions bring certain results. One more time. Your environment creates your thoughts. Your thoughts produce your feelings. Your feelings cause you to act, and your actions bring certain results. So here we see in chapter 2, as compared to chapter 3 of Genesis, we see that the environment changed. The environment changed. In other words, something or somebody got into Adam's and Eve's environment. Before, there was nothing in their environment. We're going to learn something here. We're going to learn something very, very crucial that's going to empower you to be able to control every aspect of your life from this day forward. We see in the second chapter that God brought Adam the animals because he said, I'm going to see what Adam going to call it. Why? Because God trusted Adam's thought process. Why? Because he knew Adam thought like he thought. In the third chapter, somebody entered into their environment. Let's talk about that for a moment. You'll never forget this, and you need to write this down. Matter of fact, you need to write it down in bold letters. You are in control of your environment. What I mean by environment, you're in control, not your surroundings, not everything else around. You don't control everybody, but what you can control, you can control who's talking to you. You can control who's saying stuff to you. You can control what you're listening to. You can control what you're reading. You can control what you're retaining. That's your responsibility. God is not responsible for your environment. Did you notice that in this third chapter, in the first verse, the second verse, that Satan started talking to Eve? God did not stop him not one time. Why God didn't stop him? Because God cannot control your environment. God cannot control what you listen to. God can't control who you are speaking to your life. God can't control who you listening to. He can't control who you hang around. You control your environment. I hope you're catching this. Why is that important? Because your environment does what? Creates your thoughts. Your thoughts do what? Produce your feelings. Your feelings do what? calls you to act, what your actions do, bring certain results. So because Eve and then Adam didn't deal with their environment. Now, they were equipped to deal with their environment. Glory to God. God never creates something and doesn't equip them to deal with things that they have to face. Never does. God never leaves us unequipped. We are equipped to handle our environment. We're equipped to control our environment. Adam and Eve, if they would have controlled their environment, could have controlled their thoughts. Oh, glory to God. How was Adam and Eve supposed to control their thoughts? I'm glad you asked. Look what it says in verse 1. It's not a serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God has made. Verse chapter 3, verse 1. And he said to the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Right? That's the enemy asking Eve a question. He's entered into the environment. He's entered into the environment and asking her a question. Watch what the woman said. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Are you catching on to how you control your environment? Are you catching on how you control your environment? Eve had the very thing that was going to help her control her environment. I didn't say she was controlling who was in her environment, but she was controlling what was trying to be expressed in her environment. Here it is, Satan is telling her, hey, listen, did God say you can't eat of every tree? She answered him, yes, God said we can eat of any tree we want, but this one tree we cannot touch, for if we touch it, we shall surely die. The word of God is what you use to control your environment. You can't use nothing else to control your environment. Nothing else can control your environment but the word of God. Everything else that you use to try to control your environment is subject to what man says or does. Only the word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word stands forever. It is the only thing that does not change is the word of God. So you must use the word of God to control your environment. When you use the word of God to control, what I mean by use the word of God to control your environment, anytime something or somebody or something is said or you read or somebody tries to insinuate or somebody tries to coerce you to do something, you first have to check it against the word of God. First thing you do, Eve had the word of God, but she did not allow the word of God to create her thoughts. She allowed her environment that was not controlled by the word of God to create her thoughts. This is where all of us get in trouble. This is where all of us who have issues in our life that we cannot correct, things in our lives that we can't get rid of. I didn't say nothing wasn't going to come into your life. Never said that. Things, challenges will come. Things will come into your life. But you must be able to take the word of God to control your environment. Once you take the word of God to control your environment, turn me to Romans, the 12th chapter. Once you take the word of God to control your environment, then you can control your thoughts. Watch this. Watch what happens. Watch how important it is that you control your environment. Watch what it says. Watch Romans 12, very familiar scripture. Romans 12, we're going to use this scripture over and over again in this class. Romans, the 12th chapter. Let me get there. Glory to God. Watch what it says. Verse 2. Now watch what it says. And be not conformed to this world. What it means to be conformed to this world? That means your environment is left unchecked by the word of God. Your environment is left to just be shaped and molded by circumstance, to be shaped and molded by certain people, to be shaped and molded by the government, to be shaped and molded by your political affiliation, to be shaped and molded by your childhood trauma, to be shaped and molded by your life experiences. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. That means things are going to constantly creep into your environment. This is why it's so important that you protect, for those of you in training center and you have grandkids and you have you parents and you have young children, you need to control their environment. Listen to me. Control their environment. Why is it important that you control their environment? Control their environment because it shapes their thoughts. One of the things that I did with my kids, my daughter, my baby girl, my daughter is 19 years old, finna make 20, a sophomore in college. And for the first time in her 19, going on 20 year lifespan, I put a TV in her dorm room, she don't have one at home in her bedroom. I didn't allow my children to have TVs in their room. When they watched TV, it was in the living room, in the open, where I can pass by and see what they're watching. That's me, as a parent, controlling their environment. My daughter, 22, she's working on building a house now, working on getting a house now and looking at toward getting a house. She's 22, living with me. She still does not have a TV in her room. Now it's by design. Now it's by her choice. She chooses not to because she wants to control her environment. So it shifted from me controlling her environment to her now controlling her environment. I think that, it burns me so much. I think that adults that, this is why the adults that try to corrupt the mind of a child by not protecting their environment, I think they ought to go straight to hell. Have to protect their environment. Because the same thing's going to happen when they get older. The same thing's happening to you now. You have to protect your environment because out of your environment comes how you think. Out of your environment comes how you think, what you're thinking. This is why 2 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. That's what it says. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Get there. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Verse 5. Look at verse 4. It says, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of a stronghold. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Other words, the weapons of our warfare does not originate in the mind. Catch that. It does not originate in the natural. The weapons of our warfare originate in the supernatural. Now, remember what I told you last class, that your eyes, that your mind or your soul is the eyes of the soup of your spirit into the physical. And the eye, and watch this, your spirit is the eyes of your mind into the supernatural. So therefore, the weapons of our warfare originate in the supernatural. So if our spirit and our mind are not cooperating, if my mind or my environment is left unchecked, my mind will be clouded and blocked to where it can't see into the supernatural. Glory to God. But I have to have a renewed mind. We're going to get back to a renewed mind so I can see, so that I can understand, so I can hear in the supernatural world. Watch what it says. Verse 5, casting down imaginations. Now, how are you going to cast down imaginations? How are you going to pull them down? What are you going to judge them against? If you can't take a thought from the world and cast it down from the world. You can't judge thoughts from the world. It's all the same. There has to be something that is outside of this world system that has stood the test of time, that has never changed, has been the same forever, has had the same solid footing, that you can now compare an imagination or thought to. It says, casting down, verse 5, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing, watch this, that exalted itself against the what? The knowledge of God. What is knowledge of God? The word of God. What is God saying to you? And bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So the Apostle Paul is sitting there telling us, you're going to have to control your environment. Because if you don't control your environment, you're not going to be able to cast down imaginations. Adam and Eve did not control their environment. They let Satan, I'm not saying Satan can't, listen, the only place, listen to me clearly, this is why Romans 12 and 2 is so important. That's why Romans, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 is so important. That's why Isaiah 1 and 18 is so important. That's why Jeremiah 29 and 11 is so important. That's why Philippians 2 and 5 is so important. It's because the only place that Satan can access you is through your soul. That's the only way they can that Satan was able to access Adam and Eve was through their soul and questioning what God said. So therefore, you have to renew your mind with the word of God. That's why the Bible says, hide the word in your heart. Hide the word in your, what's your heart? Your soul. Hide the word of God in your heart so that when Satan does come into your environment, or a satanic event, or a satanic atmosphere, or anything from darkness coming to your atmosphere, you're standing there with the word of God and you're able to control your environment. So no matter what is going on the outside, it's not the same thing going on the inside. Not the same thing. So you're able to deal with the thoughts that the environment is trying to create because you're in control, not the word. You're not conformed. You're not just taking everything your outside surroundings say to you. You're not just going to take their word for it. Whose report are you going to believe? This is why it's important that you renew your mind with the word of God so that you can cast down all these imaginations that try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Remember the first, fourth verse says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, it don't originate in the mental realm. It don't originate in the natural. Go back to Romans the 12th chapter. Watch this. Watch what happens. Romans the 12th chapter, verse 2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why your mind needs to be renewed? So that you can, what? Prove. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? A renewed mind allows your spirit and your soul to work together to pull answers out of the supernatural that don't exist in the natural. Only a renewed mind can do that. What that means? A renewed mind can catch the thoughts of God. A renewed mind can catch the wavelengths of God. In other words, let's say this. Go back to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 2nd chapter. Watch this. Watch. In the second chapter, verse 18. Verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Other words, Adam's mind wasn't renewed. It didn't have to be renewed because it wasn't clouded. His environment wasn't polluted. So his mind was automatically on the same wavelength with God. So that's why God say, I can bring these animals to Adam. Because now when I bring them to Adam, Adam think like I think, so he's going to call them what I would call them. That's why I can see what he's going to call them. Because when he call it, because we're on the same wavelength, I will agree with him. Oh, glory to God. But see, because of Adam and Eve's fall, Jesus had to come to die on the cross to redeem us. Galatians 3:13, redeem us. What that mean? Put us back in a former position. So now that you are born again, you have the right to think on the same pattern as God. You have a right to think on the same wavelength as God. The only difference is now we know there's an enemy who tries to infiltrate our environment. That's why we have to control our environment. That's why you have to control your environment. You have to control your environment. You have to watch what you listen to. You have to watch what you watch on TV. You have to pay attention to who's talking to you. You have to pay attention to what they're saying to you, so that you can always be alert to realize, uh-oh, this ain't God. That's proving you're able to recognize what is God and recognize what ain't God. Your mind has to be renewed. See, Adam's mind didn't have to be renewed when he was dealing with them animals. The time Adam's mind had to be renewed started in the third chapter, in that first verse, when the enemy walked up and made Eve repeat to him what God said. Adam repeated it. Eve repeated it to him. Repeated it to him. Man. As we go through this spirit life training and we begin to deal with the five aspects of the soul, every aspect of our soul is affected by our environment. What you're watching, who you hang around, what you're reading, who you're listening to, your environment. Now, mind you now, God designed us to be in hostile environments. So you're not going to be able to shut up in your house and control your environment that way. Mm-mm. You're not going to be able to shut yourself off from people and control your environment that way. The only way you're going to be able to control your environment is by hiding the word of God in your heart, so that when something pops up in your environment, you can recognize, this is God, this ain't God. Whatever ain't God, I'm tearing it down. Whatever is God, I'm gonna let it be planted, germinate, grow, and produce fruit. See, Eve let the wrong thing germinate. Listen at me. I need you to accept responsibility for your environment. Accept responsibility for controlling your environment. I didn't say you control the people in your environment, but you can control your environment. That's what that scripture means, where he gave us. Look, go back in verse 1. And God blessed them. And God, verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God was really telling them, control your environment. Because Adam and Eve wasn't everywhere at one time, so they didn't need to control everything at one time. What God was really saying is, I need you to control your environment. Listen there very carefully. Let's read this again. Holy Spirit just showed me. Let's see this again. Watch this. Let's read this again. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. What they had dominion over? The fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So that means as they moved, whatever came into their environment, they had authority over. Are you seeing me? Are you hearing me? They had authority over it. Watch this now. Go to chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. The serpent was more subtle. What's a serpent? A living thing that moveth upon the earth. I don't care if it's more subtle. It was a living thing that moveth upon the earth. Did they have dominion over it? Yes, they did. So what am I telling you? You have dominion over your environment. If you don't have dominion over your environment, somebody else will, or Satan will. If you don't have dominion over your environment, somebody else will, or Satan will. See, all five aspects of your soul are affected by your environment. And you must know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You are responsible for your environment. You, not nobody else. God is not responsible for your environment. You are responsible for your environment. That's why he says you. It's an understood you there. Go back to Romans, and we're going to close here. Go back to Romans. It's an understood you there. Go back to Romans. Romans, the 12th chapter. Go back there. That's what he says. It's understood you. Because in verse 2, there's an and there. So there's a continuation of a thought. So let's go to verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And you, and, meaning it's a continuous thought, and you be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's you. The Apostle Paul said, you got to present your body, and you got to present your soul. You got to present your body, and you got to present your soul. You. Nobody's going to do it for you, but you. This is why, for children, we as adults, we have to protect their environment. We have to present their souls until they come to the knowledge of themselves, until they come what's called the age of accountability, where they're going to be accountable for their own environment. It happens at different times for different children. For me, I got born again when I was 4 years old. I came to the age of accountability at 4 years old. For some children, it might be a little longer. But at some point, a child will come to the age of accountability. That's why we have to protect them. That's why we can't let no transgender teachers be teaching our children and then won't talk about sex. We can't allow that. That's what you have to stand against that. When it comes to freedom, you can live how you want to live behind your own closed door. But when you come into this public wanting to affect my child and affect my child's environment, you're going to have to be clean. You're going to have to be clean. You're going to have to be clean and neutral. We're not talking about nothing that will affect my child's environment against the word of God. No. And you can't let nobody tell you anything different. And you can't allow that stuff to happen to your children. You have to fight for the minds of your children. It's better to fight for your minds of your children while your minds are still shapeable and moldable than trying to fight for the minds of your children after they've been shaped. I hope you're hearing me. This is why they want to get LGBTQ ideas into kindergarten. They understand this principle. They understand about the environment. It ain't nothing but what, it's the same concept that Satan did in the garden. Because you got to remember, Adam and Eve, even though they were made as adults, they still had the time to grow with God mentally. They still had to grow with God mentally. So therefore, Satan is using the same concept that he used back then. If I can get him at an early age. Think about you. Some of the childhood trauma you had to come through. Some things that happened in your environment that shaped how you behave now. So now you got to take the word of God. Because look, John, go to John the first chapter. Watch this. John the first chapter. We're going to close here. John the first chapter. John the first chapter. John the first chapter, verse 12. Look at verse 12. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's a semicolon. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. What John was saying was when you got born again, God gave you a right to bypass your natural genealogy and get reconnected to your original genealogy, which is him as your father creating you. So that means any childhood trauma that you have, you take his word and you begin to renew your mind, he will empower you to be able to change how you feel, change how you think, so that those things that happened to you in the past can't affect your present and won't affect your future, because you have a right to bypass that. See, that's why we as adults, at some point as an adult, I can't keep blaming my childhood programming. Because now that I'm an adult, I can control my environment. And when I control my environment, I control how I think. When I control how I think, I control how I feel. When I control how I feel, I control how I behave. When I control how I behave, I can control the results I get. I bless you, and I'll see you next week.